Good morning. Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of our brother Jesus, the one who claims us as beloved siblings and calls us to welcome all people as he did. By our worship, may you know such love and such hospitality as well. I extend a warm welcome to those of you who are worshiping with us this day by our live-streamed or our broadcast worship. But I remind all of us, no matter how we entered this worship today, that we can be confident that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we remain one in the body of Christ. So no matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. I want to thank our liturgists and our greeters and our ushers this day for helping to make our worship possible, and also to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer for the technical expertise that they are offering this day that makes this worship possible. And also extend a particular thank you to Pegasus Natick for broadcast of this service. And I'd remind us all, those of you who are, in particular, those of you who are in worship today in person, that we have a covenant for our worshiping community that you'll find on the inside cover of the bulletin. And so I invite you to take a close look at that to remind ourselves of the ways that we are agreeing that we will be in worship together during this unusual time. For those of you who are in worship this day and want to lift up a prayer request or celebration, we invite you to use those index cards that you'll find in the pews and to fill that out, and during the time of the offering or just before the prayer, you can hold those up and we'll collect them and I can incorporate them into our morning prayer this morning. And for those of you who are at home who would like to let us know about a prayer request that you have, I would invite you to email us now at prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. That's prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. And if we receive that by the time of the morning prayer, by the time of the reflection, we should be able to incorporate that into our worship this day. So this morning we have an announcement from our spiritual support team, and I'm looking around to see if Mindy is with us this morning. No. Well, I will remind us that the spiritual support team has continued to remind us that there are many ways that we can be involved in this capital campaign that our congregation is engaged in, and one of those ways is to lend our reflections to the specific things that that we are connecting to spiritually through this campaign. So we invite you to do that. There's a way to do that online, but also for those of you who are in person, there is an insert in our bulletin that helps us to just write a few things that help us to remember the spiritual dimension of this campaign. And also, in general, we want to let you know some things about our capital campaign. For those of you who were able to be with us virtually for the capital campaign kickoff on Sunday, you will have learned that we have already received over $700,000 of a $750,000 goal that was established for this campaign. That happened during the quiet phase of our campaign, and now we are in the public phase of that campaign. We also learned something else to be joyful about, and that is that an anonymous donor has agreed to match up to $100,000 of additional contributions or pledges that come in between now and the end of the campaign. So there's a way for you now to double the power of your donation through that matching pledge. Also, for those of you who have not already done so, you will probably be receiving a call or some other way of contacting you by our capital campaign team to let you know that they'd like to have a conversation with you about how you can be generous through this particular campaign effort. It's a collective effort. This is the kind of thing that we can only do when we are together in this work. And so every gift will be doubled because of that those matching funds, and so we invite you to remember that. I would like to now invite all of us here to be in the Spirit together. I would like to invite those of you who are at home to light your candles along with me as I light this Christ candle. And for all of us to recognize the significance that it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we continue to be that body of Christ up and alive in the world and making possible the things God would want us to make possible here. And now let us continue our worship with this morning's responsive call to celebration.
Good morning. Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. We have been called the salt of the earth. We've been called the light of the world. We have been called a city on a hill.
Let us, like Jerusalem, lift our gates, our hearts, and our voices in the
Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, touch us, tender God, with the holiness of this morning. Let your blessing be felt as inward peace and divine call. Grant us awareness to recognize your blessings, confidence to speak your word, and courage to build your kingdom. Help us to be like salt, a small ingredient that gives flavor to the common life of humanity while drawing little attention to itself. Lay your hands gently upon us, strengthen us to do your will, and sing your praises. Amen.
And so I invite you now, remaining physically distant and yet close with one another in the Spirit, to share the peace of Christ, perhaps reaching out your hands in a gesture of blessing or placing your hands over your heart with the intention of receiving God's peace and also sharing your peace with one another, or using the word namaste with a bow which conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
So I don't like to make any assumptions here, and my eyesight isn't perfect, but I don't see any small children with us this morning. So we have a time for children that is set for this time. I will do is just modify this a little bit, and I'm going to ask you if you have any idea. Oh, here we go. All right, that's what I was hoping for right there. All right, let's get down to it now. Karen and Heather. I'm so excited. All right, I bet you're going to know the answer to this question. All right. I have something in here, in this bag, that, believe it or not, at one time was one of the most valuable, one of the most precious substances on our planet. Can you guess what this is?
Gold.
Not gold.
Chocolate.
Not chocolate, but that was another good idea. Anything else?
Salt.
All right. Karen thinks it might be salt. Well, she's very astute. She knows. So salt, believe it or not, was one of the most valuable substances on Earth at one time, and there are some good reasons for it, and I bet that you or some of you might know why. Why is salt so valuable? Preservative, exactly. What else?
Taste.
Yeah, flavor, taste, of course. What else?
Your body needs it.
It has things in it that if we didn't have it, well, what would happen? Our bodies wouldn't work well. What else? Preservative? Did we say that?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Well, we could probably think of other things. Pretty soon, it's going to ice or snow. And then what's happening on our roads? We all know about this.
Yeah.
We got salt going on our roads so that we don't slip, right? So what I'm thinking about is this. Among the many perplexing things that Jesus once told us, he told us that we are the salt of the earth. We are the salt of the earth. And as I try to make sense of that, I'm not exactly sure what it means, but I wonder if any of you can think, well, what does it mean that we're the salt of the earth? Oh, I like that. We add to the good things that are already here. That is awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Sermon done. What else? Thank you.
We can't survive without each other.
Yeah, we can't survive without each other. That's really good. Exactly. Anything else? One of the things that I'm thinking about and that I wanted to say to our children specifically is that We can feel small, like a grain of salt. But we also know that, you know, like this morning when I had my eggs, I put just a tiny bit of salt on those eggs, and those eggs became something much more than they possibly could be without that salt. And so just a reminder to us that when Jesus calls us salt, yes, there are all these amazing things that we are and that we can do, but also in particular in those moments when we're feeling like, what can we possibly add? That we have the power to do much more than we frankly believe. And I do think that's part of what Jesus was trying to tell us. So I hope that all of you will remember the power that we have as salt, the preciousness that we have as salt, and in particular those moments when we're feeling small, that we have and can be something that's far greater than we imagine. We'll go in peace.
Yeah.
Salt on the table. Right? Salt on the table. People of God, we are salt. We are light in the world, even when we don't believe it. And frankly, that is part of what we do every single Sunday, is to remind ourselves of the salt and light that we are. We do this in lots of different ways. One of the ways we do this is through our offering, because this is a moment when we remember that we have been gifted, entrusted with potent gifts that can make a difference in the world in ways we don't imagine. And so we always take this time, even though we're not passing an offering plate, to remember that, to remember who we are and whose we are and what we're called to do and to be together. And so I invite us now to be in that spirit of offering, but also of knowing that we can make a kind of difference that sometimes we can't ever imagine. Our morning's offering will be lifted up now. We're going to take a moment here to pause, just because we're having a little technical difficulty with the video image of some of our choir members singing together our song of praise. And I believe that Tom Foster has gone to the organ, maybe. And now we can rise, and we will join together in our song of praise. Let us do so. Invite you to be in a spirit of a prayer of thanksgiving together. Let us pray. We thank you, God. We thank you for the opportunity to share in your creative and your nourishing, your restorative work among all people and in this creation. Because you have blessed us, we have much to give. And so these offerings express our gratitude and our aspiration to be your own loyal community, your faithful followers, and yes, your light and your salt from this earth, of this earth, and to this earth. We give you thanks and praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Should have thought about different earrings, I think. The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your renewed is great in heaven. For in the same way that they persecuted the prophets who were before you, you are the salt of the earth. But if that salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Here ends the reading.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. She's the salt of the earth. She's the salt of the earth. So who wouldn't want to be thought of as a salt of the earth person? And yet health recommendations to cut our salt consumption may have us feeling uneasy a bit about being considered salty ourselves. In fact, I almost avoided focusing on today's gospel lesson because of a comment that I once overheard from a fellow colleague. He says, "Oh, I know my parishioners are the salt of the earth. They are the main cause of my high blood pressure." So with a kind of high blood pressure epidemic going on in this nation, a leading cause of heart disease and stroke, the medical community is pretty united in its alarm over our penchant for salt. 90% of American adults consume more salt than is recommended. Studies show that Americans eat about 3,400 milligrams of sodium daily, well above the 2,300 milligrams maximum that's recommended. That's 50% more. Interestingly, the salt shaker, well, that is not the main culprit here. The main culprit is restaurant food and other kinds of prepared foods, like those things that I always turn to, especially when I'm in a hurry, like canned spaghetti sauce and frozen food type things. So despite our concerns, it is true, as was pointed out by Dee Dee, we need salt, and we need salt desperately. Salt, of course, is our common name for the chemical substance sodium chloride, NaCl, produced by the reaction of sodium, which, as you may remember, if you remember your chemistry, is an unstable metal that can burst into flame, combined with a deadly poisonous gas, chlorine, right? So it kind of sounds dangerous, but chloride is essential for digestion and respiration. And without sodium, which the body can't manufacture on its own, the body would be unable to do a number of really important things, like transport nutrients and oxygen and transmit nerve impulses or move muscles including the heart. Human beings contain about 3 to 4 salt shakers worth of salt, I'm told. But the fact is that we are constantly losing it as we go about our day. And so it's essential to replace this lost salt, since salt deficiency causes a wide range of problems in the body. It creates headaches and weakness and lightheadedness and nausea, and if deprived long enough, well, we'll die. So here is the point, really simple. Salt is part of our daily lives by necessity, and has been for thousands and thousands of years. In fact, the quest for and the consumption of salt is actually much of a human obsession over the course of human history. I read a wonderful book years ago called Salt, A World History by Mark Kurlansky, who is a wonderful writer, writes on many different things, including cod, of course, and a number of other things like that. Anyway, Kurlansky in that book tracked the history of salt as a mineral often considered much more valuable than gold. Salt is so common, so easy to obtain and inexpensive, writes Kurlansky, that we have forgotten. We have forgotten that from the beginning of civilization until about 100 years ago or so, salt was one of the most sought after commodities in human history. From the ancient Chinese, who may have gathered salt as early as 6,000 years BCE, to biblical times and beyond, salt has been a staple in every human culture. In the first century world of Jesus, salt was so valuable it could be used like cash. Roman soldiers were said to have been paid in salt. And like this example from the Smithsonian Institution, you can see that it was sometimes cast into transportable in transportable ways that could be actually used on a barter system. In fact, the Latin word for salt, sal, may be the basis of the word salary and also the basis of the word soldier. It's the origin of the expression, he's worth his salt. He's worth his salt. Even without supporting research, the ancients knew. They knew that salt was an essential ingredient in maintaining health and its various uses as a healing agent, a food preservative, and even an aphrodisiac, to name a few. It made it an extremely valuable commodity. And today, the salt industry says that the mineral has over 14,000 uses. And it boasts that it is the Swiss Army knife of the mineral world. Well, with all these diverse uses, it is no wonder that many cultures, ancient and otherwise, gave salt spiritual value as well. Homer called salt a divine substance, and Plato said that described it as especially near to the gods. The Israelites, well, they went a step further. The Israelites used salt in their ritual practice. The preserving power of salt was well known, and so the ancient Israelites covered their sacrifices in salt as a sign of the eternal nature and preservation of the covenant between God and God's people. A covenant of salt, as it's called in Leviticus. And so, despite my cynical colleague's comment, when Jesus told his followers, "You are the salt of the earth," he was emphasizing their usefulness, their great value. What does it mean for us to be salt? For us to be salt. What does it mean? I think the explanation comes in the qualifier that Jesus uses right after he says, "You're the salt of the earth." What does he say? He says, "Well, but if salt has lost its taste, how can saltiness be restored?" Well, clearly it can't. It can't be restored. And so what happens? It gets thrown out. It's not particularly useful anymore as salt. Well, considering that that we are the salt of the earth that he is talking about here, it sounds kind of harsh. But salt that's lost its flavor? Ever have that happen before in your experience? Salt losing its flavor? The salt that you know losing its flavor? I've never had that happen to me. I can't think of the last time that I went to use salt and put it on my eggs or something, and then it just didn't have any flavor. It tasted like something else. I don't have any experience of that. But it turns out that people in Jesus' day did. They did. And the solution here, as it turns out, again, is chemistry. And I'm going to just remind you all that my degrees are not in chemistry, but in theology. But here's what I've learned. Modern table salt, well, it doesn't ever lose its saltiness. Why? Well, because it has all of the impurities that naturally occur in salts removed. And it has some other things that are added, like anti-caking agents. But salt in Jesus' day, salt in Jesus' day was much less reliable. A commercially available salt in biblical times was produced by evaporation of seawater or brine from salt wells or lakes, such as the Dead Sea, as you can see in this image. All of these contain other salts besides sodium chloride, notably calcium salts. Calcium salts. Now, again, I'm not a chemist, but I have learned that when the brine is evaporated, these calcium salts combined with dissolved carbon dioxide, and that they create calcium carbonate. You know what calcium carbonate is? Somebody here, I'm sure, does. Right? There's a chemist. There's at least one chemist over there. Chalk, right? So you leave this standing for long periods exposed to moist air. The soluble sodium chloride will absorb water and leach away, leaving mostly chalk. I'm glad I didn't put that on my eggs this morning. So, for me, Jesus' point becomes a little clearer here. It doesn't do for disciples to sit around growing bland. We only keep our true, our valuable nature if we are actively preserving and flavoring and healing the world. In fact, the more that we are used, the more valuable we are. And the closer we are to realizing the incredible purpose and fullness of life to which we are called. For in calling his people salt, Jesus transforms us into agents of God's realm of love. So I have some ideas why you come here and why you're joining us by virtual worship this day. I have some ideas about that. Maybe for community, maybe for comfort, maybe for respite, for music, for the people who are here, for ideas maybe for guidance. To see the shining faces of children when they're here. Afterward, when it's not COVID and we're serving them, for the cookies and coffee and drinks. Those are all excellent reasons to be here, and I'm glad that those are part of the flavoring that makes up this wonderful feast that is Christian community, and specifically right here at First Congregational Church of Natick. And I have a hunch that there's something more. That perhaps sometimes another reason why you come here or why you join us is that you leave here a little different in the right kinds of ways. Maybe as a saltier people. Maybe. Because in your small and in your large ways, in your families at work or in school, whether you're too young to vote or you're too old not to need a walker, through groups and organizations and on your own, you are out there in the world making the kind of difference in the world that salt makes in a really essential way. Preserving valuable, vulnerable people by doing things like nailing boards together in West Virginia on their behalf, or standing up for them when no one seems to be listening to their pleas for help, healing those who are grieving, who are sorrowing and in pain, and doing that in sometimes conventional and unconventional ways through casseroles, through kind words, through prayers, hugs when we can do that, nourishing others with your unspoken and tangible witness yet to God's love for each person, and all the while flavoring this world with civic mindedness and goodwill and a sense of justice and fair play that, frankly, when I look at the world, is itself a precious commodity. And sometimes, using the contemporary definition of the word salty, angry, irritated, resentful, and fed up, that can be okay when we get righteously salty about the injustices that we feel or that we see and that we know shouldn't stand. I know we may be the salt of the earth, but we begin to think of ourselves as just tiny grains. Common, plentiful, and certainly no longer worth our weight in gold. And yet, make no mistake, Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said that we are salt. Insignificant and unnoticed as we may seem, we are still God's salty people, useful and valuable and essential, and as we know, a little bit of salt goes a long, long way. As God's salty ones, however you understand what that means, we have been created, we have been equipped, we have been formed, and we have been energized, we've been purposed for divine use to be instruments for changing the world. May we always be looking for that 14,001st way that we can prove our salt. Seasoning this world with a healthy dose of our time, talent, and treasure, that all might be nourished by the love of God in Jesus Christ. The salt's on the table, just where it should be. Let's carry it out into the world. Amen. One of the ways that we get salty is by praying together. It's one of those ways I think that we often dismiss as, well, we wonder what kind of effect what we're about to do happens. And I will tell you that for those who lift up prayer celebrations and concerns, and for those who have intentionally placed the names of loved ones and situations in our worship bulletin, and for many of you who do come week after week here in person or there at home, our taking time to lift up such joys and concerns is an essential part of how we are God's salty people. So I would have us do that now and invite any prayer celebrations or concerns that you have generated here, and those of you in person who might have a card, to hold it up and I can bring it, get it brought forward. So we would pray for the Glover family as Nancy has been put into hospice care after her diagnosis of stage 4 cancer. And we lift this up on Sarah Beth's behalf. And we are also going to stand in celebration this day. This very day, October 10, is the 34th wedding anniversary of Lane and Kirsten McDonough. And we celebrate having extended family with them this day to celebrate with them as well. Let us pray together, holy ones, loving ones, caring ones, salty, light-filled ones. We give you thanks, loving God, for this day that you have made and allowed us to share with one another and with others. We give you thanks for celebrating anniversaries. We give you thanks for appreciating the things that this season can bring in time of harvest and fall foliage. We give you thanks for salt at work in all of those who will gather tomorrow to run a magnificent race close at hand here. We give you thanks for all those things and so much more, and for the gift of Jesus, the one whose presence is life and light. This day we give a special thanks for those who are the salt of the earth and the many ways they flavor our world well, healing and preserving and doing so much more. And yet we know, Holy One, that we struggle with living as your salty ones. It's easy for us to feel that we are common, mundane, and thereby to lose our precious saltiness, or to wish that we were something more palatable, like sugar, more exotic, like cardamom, more exciting, like pepper flakes. And so this day we pray for all those for whom life has lost its flavor, those who have never known how valuable and important they are to making this world more as you would have it be. or those who are forgotten. We pray for all of us as we forget, as we pray for all those who, in their pain and anger, maybe rub salt into the wounds of others or scatter salt on the fields of our common life, at just like invading armies once did to stop the earth's fruitfulness in spite. Help us to repent of the misuse of our saltiness, like all gifts, which can be misused, and to commit ourselves anew to being salt and light and flavor and hope. And in those particular instances of need, such as with the Glover family, to help us bring what useful and helpful saltiness we can, and to again recall that we have a part in that recipe of daily bread that God offers, and that we are an essential part of Jesus, the bread of life. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Beloved, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. go now to prove your salt and to place yourselves on the lampstand. And as you do, may God's love go before you. May Christ's blessing be around you and the Spirit's joy be within you today and every day. Go now in the peace of Christ to be salty ones in the world. Amen.